What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From the most trusted journalists at Comedy Central, it's America's only source for news. This is The Daily Show with your host, Jon Stewart.
We got a show. You're going to be very excited that you tuned in for this evening. I'll be talking to the great Salman Rushdie. Will be joining us later about his new book, Knife. Fabulous book and many other surprises. But before that, it's a big day for Donald Trump. Huge. His campaign for president was interrupted today by the trial about the other time that he had tried to run for president. Look, let's just check in another installment of America's Most Tremendously Wanted.
The whole thing is a scam.
After a week of jury selection, today it was finally time for opening statements, and it turns out the prosecution and the defense do not see eye to eye.
The prosecution arguing that Trump's alleged scheme to keep an adult film actress quiet is election interference, pure and simple in those words.
Trump defense lawyer Todd Blanche told the jury that the former president, though, did not violate the law.
That's right. This is a classic case of the state of New York versus Oh, no, it didn't. I think it's pretty clear he did it. Anyway, this trial will obviously be a test of the fairness of the American legal system, but it's also a test of the media's ability to cover Donald Trump in a responsible way, a task they have acknowledged they've performed poorly in the past.
I think to the degree that the media had lessons to learn in 16, they seem to have been learned.
It's irresponsible for cable news networks to give Donald Trump hours and hours of free airtime.
Way too much speculation and liberal wishful thinking and attempts to connect dots that did not connect.
It's the media's responsibility to not get distracted.
I think we were much too busy chasing after shiny objects.
All of us have learned some very valuable lessons from the last couple of years in delineating what's significant, what's important.
So brave. Well done. And I think for this trial, we will see the seeds of that introspection bear fruit. Or we will learn that learning curves are for pussies.
Here we go. It's on. It's happening. History will be made.
Shaping up to be the trial of the century.
Maybe the trial of the century.
The trial of the century.
But just might be the trial of the century.
The tax man is here, Donald Trump.
He will finally be forced to face the music.
The legal walls closing in around Donald Trump.
The legal walls are starting to close in on Donald Trump.
Yes, this time, Mr. Bond. It truly is your doom. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to leave this room. Obviously, when I leave, I'm not going to press this button right here that opens all the doors and dismantles the killing machine I've established. Don't follow me, Mr. Bond. Perhaps if we limit the coverage to the issues at hand and try not to create an all-encompassing spectacle of the most banal of details, perhaps that would help.
You're looking at live pictures in New York City of Donald Trump's motorcade.
It's about a 20-minute drive between Trump Tower and the court building.
Trump leaving Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue.
They're now making their way across town along 57th Street. They just crossed Park Avenue, making their way up towards Lexington Avenue.
He's heading down the FDR
to the Manhattan Courthouse on Chamber Street.
Arriving at this intersection of American history with defiance.
Arriving at the intersection of American history with defiance, the brilliant juxtaposing of the gravitas of the moment with simple traffic terms was... He arrived at the intersection of American history where he put a quarter in the parking meter of destiny. Leaving the car! Looking to avoid stepping in the urine puddle of jurisprudence. Seriously, are we going to follow this guy to court every f***ing day? Are you trying to make this OJ? It's not a chase. He's commuting. So, the media's first attempt, the very first attempt on the first day at self-control, failed. And I'm sorry to say that it... I'm sorry, hold on. We're getting breaking news.
You know, he wanted to get a jury seated, so we had a lady...
Bill, I'm sorry to interrupt. Just for one second. I apologize. We're just showing the first image of Donald Trump from inside the courtroom. It's a still photograph that we're showing there. Just want to make sure our viewers know what they're looking at.
Yes, for our viewers who are just waking up from a 30-year coma. This is what Donald Trump has looked like every day for the past 30 years. Same outfit. So we have a photograph of Donald Trump in the courtroom. But do we really know what he looks like? The man is a mystery, a Yeti, if you will. Anything could be a deepfake. Do we have an eyewitness account, perhaps from a dismissed juror?
Would you describe to me what you saw with Donald Trump while you were sitting inside of that courtroom?
Not very much. He was a bit ahead of me and off to the left. I didn't have a complete view of him today.
Did I have jury duty this week? What the f***? Brother? Motherfucker dresses like me, too. This is... Anyway, coming up, more of our three-part interview with a guy who nearly saw Donald Trump in the courtroom. So we have a photograph. This is freaking me out, that picture. We have a photograph, and we have eyewitness accounts. But do we have anything in a pastel?
A courtroom sketch that we're getting in right now. I'm looking at the courtroom sketch, and Mr. Trump looks like he is glowering. I'm not sure if that's supposed to be a glower or just a glance. And I don't know how this is. It's art. It's not necessarily it's artistic journalism, but it's not a photograph.
Why are you showing it to us? It's a sketch. Why would anyone analyze a sketch like it was? It'd be like looking at the Last Supper and going, why do you think Jesus looks so sad here? What do you think? It's because of Judas? What if we interview one of the waiters at one of the tables from like a different section of the restaurant who maybe didn't actually see him, but, well, you know, we got time to kill. Well, I guess we'll never know. Unless we could talk to the person who drew the sketch, but... do we have the time? Nothing but.
Christine Cornell, she was in the courtroom today, the official sketch artist. I want to show one of your sketches today. We're going through some of them, but this one, it appears in this one that his eyes are closed. What was happening here?
My apologies, ma'am. I was sitting 50 feet away. I was having such a struggle to try and get those eyeballs in.
Damn it, woman! Does Donald Trump have eyeballs or no, ma'am? Does he or no? You were in the room! Tell me! Or I will not come to your trinket shop in New Paltz! Tell me, woman! I mean, what the f*** are we doing? I notice here his head is perfectly round. Why is that?
Well, I like drawing circles.
At this point, you're probably saying to yourself, how many television hours have they devoted to what Donald Trump, a man who has not been off any of our screens for more than 30 seconds in the last 8 years, looks like? The answer is not nearly as many hours as describing his every movement.
Trump craned his neck to eye prospective jurors and flashed a tight-lipped smile.
Leaning to the left, a little bit quiet, his arms crossed as well.
Hunched over with his elbows on the desk.
Looked through papers and periodically whispered to his attorneys.
Fidgeted and leaned back, the scowl fixed to his face while he sat squinting.
He was actually biting his lip during today's proceedings.
His lips pursed in that characteristic Trump way.
His eyeballs, gone. The hulking former president stood up slowly. He walked towards me with a mixture of desire, scorn, and let's call it age-related confusion. It was then that I realized that this former president of the United States has a front butt. Look, at some point in this trial, something important and revelatory is going to happen. But none of us are going to notice because the hours spent on his speculative facial tics, if the media tries to make us feel like the most mundane bullshit is earth-shattering, we won't believe you when it's really interesting. It's your classic boy who cried wolf blitzer. Look, it's a trial. It's boring, mostly. I've been on jury duty, and I can that's not me! That's a different guy! Why are you... It's not me. It may be me. Look, trials are a lot of procedural shit, and side conferences, and sidebars, and what's exhibit 37-2A, and you're not out of order, this whole court is out of order. Look, the one person who's had the most normal reaction to the trial so far is Donald Trump.
Donald Trump fell asleep on multiple days during his criminal trial.
As he should. I mean, he's been up since 2 a.m. rage tweeting. He needs his anger sleep. Look. We got a long ways to go here. It's the first day of the first of his 438 trials to come. Pace yourselves. And if you're bored, you can always start planning how you're gonna f*** up covering his next trial and the sober mea culpa you'll deliver during his next term as president. Because the kinds of things that you are talking about now are...
Okay, we get it!
I know that voice. Jessica,
yeah.
How are you? Are you down at the courthouse? Are you there to give us a report?
Yeah, I am. And here's my report. John Stewart hates fun. This trial rocks. Why you gotta be all get off my lawn about it?
I don't necessarily sound like that, but...
Well, close.
As I was explaining, though, the media has systematically failed to contextualize...
Oh, John, please, you're killing me. My poor, sweet, naive, older-than-I-remember John.
What? Really?
We need this messy bullshit spectacle. Every other news story is a massive bummer. This Trump trial is like an open window in a Greyhound bus full of farts. Why are you trying to close the window, John? Why are you trying to make us smell farts?
I'm not trying to make you smell farts.
No, John, you're trying to make us smell farts.
You know I would never do
gift. An extremely gross old man slash former president might go to prison for banging a porn star and trying to pay her off. And you don't want us to cover that shit all day long? John, the first witness is named David Pecker. Pecker, you know, pecker is slang for wiener, John. It's a pee-pee, a peeper. A dingle, a dongle, a flibbity bit, you know.
When you say pee-pee, but then the peeper.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the owner of the pee-pee?
Different context.
Okay.
One guy has the pee-pee, the other the peeper.
I'm not trying to be a grammar police, I'm just saying.
Look, I don't want to get in the weeds about it, okay? I want to make sure that I'm clear that I'm talking about the name David Pecker and that it has a double meaning, and the meaning is for wiener. Shit. I'm already tired.
No, I've missed you terribly.
I've missed you terribly. Shit. And then here you come with your old-timey, highfalutin media critique, ruining our good time, just like you ruined the 2012 Daily Show Christmas party.
I didn't ruin that. What's not fun about mocktails and tofurkey? I didn't ruin it. Look, Jess, I hear what you're saying, but I thought my commentary on the sketch artist was quite trenchant.
Oh, you want to talk about courtroom sketches? Look at this. Walter Cronkite. I have a pen and I scribble nonsense on my script before the show starts. Oh no, the Mets lost again.
All right.
Oh my God.
Jess, did you actually draw that of me?
Yeah, dude, because it's fun to do and people like fun, John. Damn. Anyway, I should get going. I think I see Pecker across the street.
David Pecker?
I'm not sure whose penis it is, actually.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
A world-renowned and best-selling author. His new book is called Knife, Meditations After an Attempted Murder. Please welcome to the program, Salman Rushdie. Sir! Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
First question, obviously, how are you? This was obviously a traumatic experience. How are you feeling?
I'm okay, you know. I mean, surprisingly.
Yes.
But sometimes there are good surprises. This was one. I'm pretty much recovered.
I have to say, and I know this, it sounds peculiar to say this because of the traumatic experience that you endured. I love this book.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful work of introspection. I feel like I know now how your mind works. You know, I've read other of your books, but you really do a wonderful job of taking us through how you think.
Yeah, it's weird how I think. I mean, I have this kind of free associating mind, which goes from the moon to a movie, to a book, to a piece of mythology, to a joke.
I had to read this book with another book next to me to get just some of the references. It allows you, you know, sometimes you'll read an author's memoir and there's a certain self-consciousness to it. But maybe because this is about a traumatic incident, I feel like your defenses were down and it was very revelatory.
Yeah, I mean, there's a subject.
Right.
I mean, it's what I felt is that it starts off, there's a love story which turns into a murder story, which turns back into a love story.
Yes. The love story, by the way, is with his wonderful wife, Eliza, who is really the hero, maybe, of the book.
Yeah. No, I mean, she did a huge amount. And I wouldn't be here in good shape without her. And plus, she's an amazing writer.
Right.
There's that, too. I say with a certain amount of gritted teeth.
Yes. Is there competition in writerly families?
No, not really. Actually, one of the nice things about this is there isn't. We're enormously supportive of each other's work.
I thought a really interesting part of the book is, spoiler alert at the end, when you go back to Chautauqua. Chautauqua is the famed community in upstate New York where they bring in speakers and where this unfortunate event happened.
Yeah.
And you go back to revisit the scene of it, but also the jail,
yeah,
where they are holding this person, mm-hmm, that attacked you.
Yeah, it was a last-minute decision. We were actually on the plane flying up to, because I had this desire to go and revisit the scene of the crime and show myself that I was standing up where I fell down.
Right.
You know, sort of important for me. But then on the flight up there, I thought, Chautauqua was a really small town, and if he's in the county jail, how far is that from the institution? And it turned out it was like 5 minutes drive. So I thought, well, let's go to the jail.
It blows my... But you didn't have a desire necessarily to see this individual.
No, I just wanted to see the jail. You get there, it's a really boring jail. It's a little cell block and a wall with some barbed wire. But I thought, you know, he's in there, I'm out here. That feels good.
You win.
And what happened is a weird thing happened. My feet started dancing.
You were dancing?
No, my feet were dancing.
But what does that look like? It's just shimmying, you know, but the body stayed.
Well, and Eliza, my wife, said, stop doing that.
I can imagine this gentleman just glancing out the window for no apparent reason, going, is that the guy? Like,
yeah, and he's dancing in the car park.
You talk a lot about your thoughts about this gentleman and whether you wanted to confront him. There's actually a really wonderful section of it, almost like a Socratic litigation that you do in four parts.
Yeah, I make him up.
You make him up.
Yeah.
But you don't make him defenseless.
No.
The litigation that you, and the dialogue that you have with him is challenging.
Yeah. Well, I thought you got to give the enemy an even break. You know, if you're going to have a serious conversation, mm-hmm, then it can't just be me yelling at him, telling him what a bad person he is, which I think.
Yes. But he wasn't. It makes you wonder about, you know, you spent since 1989, this fatwa is put upon you, and it's these fundamentalists, and these are religious extremists who have decided they're going to punish you for whatever their reasoning was. Mm. You write, though, that this gentleman is sort of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of that.
He's 24. He wasn't even born
right. When
this thing happened. And he, by his own account, had read nothing I'd written. And yet he was willing to commit murder. I mean, that's stupid.
Yes. But I wonder if you think of it, does it strike you as a change in fundamentalism? You know, you say he was radicalized by Iman Youtubi.
Yeah.
That he watched YouTube videos. And do you think this attack had more to do with, like, John Lennon's attack or with a religious attack?
No, I think I think in some ways it's a very American attack.
Right.
He spent 4 years in a basement playing video games and watching videos. And it kind of messed with his head. And also, you know, I mean, he's born and bred in New Jersey.
Slow down. I think I know where this is going.
Well, then, you know, you're ahead of me. But, you know, we live in an America where people kill each other every 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, and I think maybe in his New Jersey brain.
Yes. That is how we describe it as well, by the way. He's got that New Jersey brain.
Exactly.
Do you think that there is a shift? You know, we think of fundamentalism as primarily a religious artifact. Have the algorithms made fundamentalism something different from that?
I think maybe they have. I mean, I'm too old to know, really, because algorithms don't know what to do with me.
Right. Give them a chance.
Yeah. No, I do. But they don't know what to do. So I'm not algorithmically influenced.
Right.
But people are. People are all the time. And, yeah, I mean, I think he was... Something happened in him which made it possible for him to decide to murder a total stranger.
Right.
And that has to be brainwashing of some kind.
Right.
You know, whatever you want to call it, but I call it brainwashing.
Yeah, as I read the story, I started thinking, you know, we're so used to this idea that of violence with a cause, this idea that these, you know, there is something deep inside them that can almost be noble or understandable.
Yeah.
This is not that. It struck me more as more in common with the school shootings we see.
Yes,
here.
Exactly.
Or the other things that you were just this thing he saw.
And you know what's so strange about it is, first of all, he must have known that he was messing up his own life as well.
Right.
You know, not just mine.
At 24.
At 24. And you know the last thing he did before he got on the bus from Fairview, New Jersey to Chautauqua, the last thing he did, he canceled his gym membership.
Because he knew that had weights?
He wasn't coming. Well, he knew he wasn't coming back, and why should he keep his standing order going?
Wow. So he's going through it and going like, I don't need Sirius Radio anymore.
No,
I don't.
Exactly.
So this, was he suicidal or was he?
I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll find out. If this trial happens, we might find out more about him. But
do you dread something like that? Is that something that still visits you?
No. I mean, I think, you know, if they need me to testify, I'll go testify. And I'll be in the courtroom with him, but my view is he should be scared about being in the courtroom with me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you wonder sometimes, you know, and this is not to get, but you and I are both getting older, and you write a lot in the book about...
Speak for yourself, Chuck.
Friends, settle down. I was just on jury duty, by the way. I don't know if you saw that. Picture of my doppelganger. But there's mortality. You write about Martin Amis and Paul Auster and people that you've lost, even during the writing of this book, lost to esophageal cancer. You had a cancer scare.
I did.
In the middle of rehabilitation.
Yeah, in the middle of all this repair work. Suddenly, apparently, I might have prostate cancer. I thought, that's not fair.
No. Well, you're right. He writes, he goes to the doctor. Well, you can tell.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the doctor and they examining your prostate is not fun.
Again, speak for yourself. It depends on if you have a Jersey brain.
Anyway, the first examination, they thought they found a bump on the prostate. And then I had to have an MRI scan. And the MRI scan, you know, it grades from 1 to 5, and 5 is really bad. And I came out at 4.
Right.
And it said cancer probable. And then it turned out that it was not probable, that this bump had been caused by some other infection.
And a medicine that they had actually given you.
Yeah, exactly. And so then a second doctor, the first doctor's boss, also examined my prostate more thoroughly.
Were they lined up down the hallway? What are we doing here?
No, this was very thorough. And also, he was an Indian doctor, and he was a fan of mine, so he was
So, nothing more uncomfortable than that.
Extra thorough.
Yes.
And he said, no, I think this might be caused by this other infection and so on. So then I had to go back and have another MRI scan, and it said 1 to 5, it's 1, no cancer. So I had cancer for 2 months, and then I didn't.
It's so incredible because you face this, as you write in the book, this 27 seconds.
Yeah.
It was just 27 seconds. And yet, do you think about, and pardon the question, but does it matter how you die? As you watched your friends and you thought about your fate and your brush with mortality, and then to have this cancer scare, did it make you think it mattered how you die?
I prefer not to.
I've got some bad news. It's coming for all of us.
Bad news for all of us.
Yes.
But I mean, I don't know. My wife Eliza and I have decided we're planning our 100th birthday party, my 100th birthday. And I think it has to be a dance party.
Yes.
So we're trying
just your feet, though, not the whole body.
So we're trying to decide who should DJ.
I'll pick somebody.
Yeah, right.
But it strikes me because you, whether you've wanted this mantle or not, and I'm assuming you don't, you represent something. You represent a courage and a freedom of artistic expression, of the importance of artistic expression, and of the danger that artistic expression often visits upon the people who do it. It's a noble shield to carry, but not an easy one, I don't imagine.
Not an easy one. And in a way, there's bits of me that would prefer to be well known for being, you know, a good writer.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm pretty sure that's in there, too.
Is that in there? Yeah. But, thank you. But, you know, it used to be when I started out as a writer, when people would write about my books, they would mention that they were funny. And then after the attack on the satanic verses, everybody stopped saying I was funny.
Really?
And it's
because that book is satirical.
And people who read it, I get two reactions to people who read it now. One is, where's the dirty bit? Because we can't find it.
Yeah.
And the second is, who knew it was funny? And I say, people who read it.
But it's, you know, with that on you, do you feel there's an idea that you have to wear that heroism?
I don't know about the heroism, but I think I have to be part of the fight.
Right.
You know, I mean, there is a fight about free expression in America, too, at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm in that fight. I have a dog in that fight.
What do you think how the nature of fundamentalism has changed and how that affects artistic expression? Like even now when we see all the protests, you know, up at Columbia University, some students protest this, others think that's going too far and they're threatening people. And we're crossing all those difficult lines. You spoke at the Penn banquet, yes?
Yeah, last year.
Last year, which is a consortium of writers and poets and a lot of people. Truly defenders of free speech.
Yeah.
I just got a text today. They've canceled.
They've canceled the prize giving because they have people attacking them for not being sufficiently anti-Israeli or pro-Palestinian or something.
Right.
I mean, everybody's so angry right now.
Right.
That nobody can listen or talk to anybody else. So people just shout at each other.
Listen, there was a critic, and this is going to sound like a joke, a critic of Taylor Swift's new music album, The Torture Poe Society. They had to remove the critic's name from the critique because of death threats.
Because he didn't like the record?
I didn't read it. Because I love the record.
Yeah. Of course.
I don't want to hear any negativity.
No. But so do I, John.
But it speaks to, in 1989, there was an ayatollah and a fatwa and a group of religious muckety-mucks who delivered the law from high above. And now we're all fundamentalists.
Everybody's an expert. Everybody's got an opinion.
And hostility.
And hostility. The level of anger is crazy right now.
Do you think of, you know, you have a dog in the fight in that creative. How do we, and I think about this a lot, how do we manage that? And is that just a function of the algorithm?
It might be. I think to an extent it is. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, frankly. I'm glad you asked me because I have the answer to the world's problems.
It's actually on page, if
it's
I would.
Right there. Exactly.
But no, you are thoughtful enough and you've been through it enough that I know you have an opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I just think people have to stop having such thin skins. Mm-hmm. You know, at the moment, we're all very easily offended. And what's more is we also believe that being offended is a sufficient reason for attacking something.
Right.
But actually, everything offends somebody.
You know, always.
Always. I mean, occasionally you.
What? How dare you, sir? I am offended.
Yeah. You see, and then if you go down that road, then we can't talk to each other anymore.
Right.
You know?
But haven't groups always had a way of policing language or behavior? I think I'm trying to think, has my perspective changed on it or has the dynamic changed?
I think what's happened is the temperature has risen.
Right.
You know, I mean, yes, of course, people have always disagreed and people have always said, you can't say that, you've got to say this. That's not new. What's new is the volume and the heat.
Right.
You know, and so what do we do about taking down the volume and taking down the heat? That's the question.
I mean, and again, not to make you the avatar of this, but this is coming from a man who, because of threats from fundamentalists, had to basically alter your entire life.
Well, it did certainly have an impact, yeah. Yeah, I mean, what is sad is that I'd actually got my life back, really. I mean, I've been living in New York City for getting on for 25 years.
Right. And well, you had made a decision, I'm going to come out of this and make myself available.
Yeah, and for 23 years, it was fine.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I was doing everything that writers do. Book tours, readings, lectures, you know.
I know, I'm a writer. Don't stop. I've been there with the coffee klatches.
Yeah.
So and Oprah.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been with Oprah.
None of us have.
None of us. But anyway, so it was a shock when this thing out of a quarter of a century ago, more than that, 30 years ago, sort of came out of a crowd at me. You know, I really was very surprised.
Do you find yourself now freed of that fear, or is there still that PTSD? Like, what does that do to you?
Well, I mean, it does, you know, nothing good.
Right.
But it's now been, 20 months or something. I think I'm pretty much back to myself at this point.
Do you feel like you're in that writing rhythm again? Has your mind started to dream
this,
again?
Let's finish this, Don.
And by the way, let me tell you something. We don't have people on where I don't either, you know, read it or take a look. It's such a beautiful and incredibly interesting and revelatory book. I really thank you for writing it because you had to endure something awful, but your insight into that experience is really a remarkable gift
to
give to other people.
Thank you.
And I really do appreciate it.
And it's got funny bits.
A couple of funny bits. Not, yeah. For a writer, not for a comic, writer. For a writer.
Yeah.
But it really is
a
fantastic piece of work, and I thank you for doing it. The book is called Knife. It is available as we speak. Salman Rushdie, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Before we go, we're going to check in with your hosts for the rest of the week, Ronnie Chang and Jordan Klepper. Come on, lovely to see you. What do you got? What do you got for the people this week?
Well, look, there's a lot of news to cover, and personally, I'll be looking at it through the lens of my white privilege.
Yes. And I'll be lending my insight on what matters the most to the Asian community.
I'll be very leftist and anti-Trump.
Well, I'll be offering an angry, everyone is stupid counterpoint.
I don't want to say anything, but I think you're reading each other's lines.
Damn it.
Damn, Scott.
Shoot!
All right, it's too late. We got to commit to it now. Hey, look at me. I'm Jordan Klepper. I'm making fun of Trump supporters.
Was that my head? Is
They're
that
so
what
dumb.
Is
I'm that... so smart and tall.
All right, all right. I'm Jordan, mad and Asian.
So it feels, Jonathan, like the legal walls are starting to close in on Donald Trump.
The walls, once again, begin to close in on Donald Trump.
The walls are closing in on Trump.
More walls are closing around him than ever before.
We've been saying the walls are closing in for 2 years, but it feels like they're actually closing right now.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.